The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Did you see Bonnie Bernstein is bitching about our city here already? After just 5 hours in Houston, already certain this will go down as the least logistically organized Final Four I've experienced in 18 years. Hashtag NRG fail.
I'm not a fan of hers.
Because of that?
No, I've never been a fan of hers.
I don't care if Bonnie Bernstein likes our city. Bonnie Bernstein can suck it. She's probably in this room, so I'll say it louder. Bonnie Bernstein can suck it.
Lon Kruger joins us. Tough matchup tomorrow. What do you guys need to do to get it done?
Villanova's really good. You know, Jay's clubs always are great in terms of disciplined, well-coached defensively. We got to move the ball offensively. We got to stay on the attack. You know, our groups, you know, they've swung away. They've not been fearful of anything. And last week, again, they got off to two great starts in the first half against A&M and in Oregon. And I know they're lining up tomorrow and anxious to swing away.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of those great things that you heard there, all available, podcastarena.com. And I need to do another one of these. We are live at Radio Row at the Final Four. Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row being brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal Credit Union is proud to serve the military. If you're a member of the Armed Forces, the Department of Defense, or your family is, Navy Federal Credit Union would be proud to serve you too. Federally insured by NCUA. The more I think about this Whedon thing, the more they're getting basically a 2-year deal, $4 million. So it'll be about half what you're paying Brian Hoyer. They obviously saw enough of him with the watered down offense to know that they could give him a little more to do. I think it says more about Tom Savage, and they were already going to move on from Hoyer. So
yeah.
I really think it says more about Savage and that he's not ready to be a number two right now.
Well,
because if he was,
I feel the same way. I mean, this is nothing new to me, and I feel you're in the same boat. You don't think it's not surprising to you. A guy can't stay on the field.
Yeah, you certainly can't count on him for that. But at some point, you have to decide: can this guy be a backup quarterback, or is he always going to be a three? If he's always going to be a three, then just draft another one late and be in the market. You know, see who can make the roster. But I don't think it's I don't know, man. I don't really have a problem with them letting go of Hoyer and going with Whedon instead. I think you need to just cut the cord.
Well,
but I do think maybe it's time to do something about it. Maybe you're about to admit that, you know what, maybe Savage is not a player.
Well, listen, I don't think Brandon Whedon's this is some great backup either. I still think they're making the wrong choice in taking Whedon over Hoyer. But, again, I also understand the fan base not wanting to see Brian Hoyer walk on that field again. I get that. I've never been a Brandon Whedon guy. Savage is a guy that I would have liked to see him develop. I thought that he could be something, but he just can't be on the field. If you can't be on the field, you can't play football.
Well, and realistically, you damn sure better hope you're not seeing either one of those guys on the field this year, except in mop-up duty, because you've invested in a guy that you think is going to be out there for you every week and be durable.
Yeah.
And so the only reason for Brandon Whedon to mean anything is if something happens to Brock Osweiler. And
hopefully that never happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly not the plan. You need to pay that guy that much money to come in and get hurt in a week. And, hey, he's a big dude, so hopefully he will be durable. And again, so many wild cards you just don't know until the guy gets on the field. And I think, you know, how he develops as a passer with O'Brien and what kind of player he becomes is really what's going to define this team and whether or not it's successful. If he turns out to be no better than what Brian Hoyer was, okay.
Right.
And it's possible. The difference isn't maybe at least he's out there every week and not getting hurt, which that's the other thing. Hoyer with the concussions and everything else, he wasn't reliable either. And he never was supposed to be a guy who's out there for 16 games. In theory, you'd want him out there for two or three. And for that role on the roster, yeah, I don't disagree with you that he might be better at it than Whedon, but in my mind, I don't want to see either one of them out there. Because,
well, I mean, you never want to see your backup quarterback out there. I mean, until we say that, but then if Brock Osweiler turns into a total disaster, people will be clamoring for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's probably one reason why you don't want Brian Hoyer around for that.
Right.
Although, who's going to clamor for Brian Hoyer?
Yeah.
excuse me. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be that big of a disaster. That would be a colossal fail. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You know what? I have a sort of non-sportsy thing.
Okay.
From Barstool Sports.
Okay.
Turns out it's not okay to get blackout drunk and let a sex offender give your teenage kids ankle tattoos. This is from San Antonio, where a Central Texas mother got drunk and allowed a sex offender to tattoo her three underage children. Ashley Nicole Weir, 31, was arrested Monday in Lago Vista and charged with three counts of tattoos prohibited for certain persons, a Class A misdemeanor. She could spend up to 3 years in prison. The father of three children told police that his 13-year-old son called and asked him to pick them up from her house. The son told the father that they had a surprise for him and that he might not like it. The woman was passed out drunk in bed when the father arrived. The three children were unsupervised. All three had fresh tattoos on their ankles. 13-year-old son had a tattoo of a cross. 10-year-old daughter had a cross and infinity symbol on her left ankle. And the 9-year-old daughter had a heart and arrow design on her right ankle.
Give me those ages again.
13, 10, 9.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, at least you're not I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, obviously it's a disaster if you're the parent responsible for that.
Right.
What do you do if you come home and your wife has tattooed your children?
And is passed out drunk. You can't really argue with her.
Right.
It's not like, hey, wake up. Like, you know how that's going to go. You probably call the cops.
Nobody can handle their booze these days. Everybody has to do something crazy like tattoo their children.
Mm.
When are you guys going to learn? Grow up. Handle your booze.
31 years old. 31 years old. Yeah, and the tattoo artist was a sex offender. That's...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, it doesn't give details on that.
Enough's enough. I mean,
well, not all registered sex offenders are
no, but
equal.
If you're going to choose someone to tattoo your 9-year-old, you'd probably prefer it not be a registered sex offender, right?
Theoretically,
okay. No matter what,
actually,
what the offense.
Yeah, I'm making a list of who's going to tattoo my 9-year-old. Sex offenders at the bottom,
right?
Right above convicted murderer. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a good answer for that.
No. Anyway, I thought you might enjoy that.
Thank you.
Something to carry to your weekend with you. All right, 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Double Down said, out of tattooed shame on the mom's forehead before she woke up.
That's actually a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Shame.
Yeah. All right, so we're out here at Radio Row, and... got some interviews coming up for you guys. Hopefully you will enjoy them. And been a very interesting show so far. Hopefully these will go well. We'll see how it works.
I think we'll be all right.
Cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
But we got to go go to our boss's party tonight.
No, I can't wait.
Yeah, me either. Just
what are you drinking tonight?
Nothing. I got a 4-mile race in the morning.
You're not drinking at all?
No. I got a race in the morning.
Well, this party's going to be the worst for you.
Yeah, well... That's why this is There's the Final Four 4-miler, which is pretty cool. It's downtown. I'm doing that in the morning, and then got another 5K on Sunday, so I'm not drinking until Sunday afternoon.
All right.
After our show.
At Fogo.
At Fogo from 12 to 2. So come on out, Fogo on Westheimer. And special show from 12 to 2, and I'm sure we'll get into all kinds of stuff. But it'll be a I can't wait to eat that food.
I can't either.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break, but first, I have to tell you about, guys, got to tell you about MyBookie. Everybody always asks me, what website do you use? MyBookie.lv. Four teams are getting geared up in the locker room. There's never been a better time for you to get in on the action. At MyBookie, Vegas odds are available at your fingertips, and even better, MyBookie will have in-game live betting all weekend through the finals. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the action. Become a winner. Doesn't matter if you've been a player for years or if you just like a team's colors. If you've been thinking about getting involved, putting your money into a website, MyBookie caters to all players, so come join today. They have the fastest payouts in the industry, the best customer service. You have nothing to lose. Give them a call, 844-900-2387, or visit them online at mybookie.lv to open up an account and pull out your smartphone. You can sign up with their user-friendly mobile site for on-the-go action. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. 844-900-2387. Visit mybookie.lv to open an account. And for my horse racing friends, they have a full race book as well. There's only one place you should play college hoops. Only the biggest, only the best, only at mybookie.lv. Sign up today.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Before we go back to Fred and A.J. at Radio Row at George R. Brown, we're going to give something away. I have two pairs of seats to Mike and Mike. Actually, two seats to Mike and Mike, a VIP section at the House of Blues on Monday. Win a VIP seat for you and a guest to see Mike and Mike live from the House of Blues Monday, April 4th from 5 to 9 a.m. for the finals broadcast. Your premium reserve seats included is a breakfast buffet. Doors open at 4 a.m. I got two pairs of tickets for that. Let's give it to caller number 5 and caller number 10. Now back out to the guys.
All right, our next guest is actually a former Houston Rocket and a former Net, Maverick, Sixer, Warrior, Blazer.
He's been around.
Keep going. Yeah. Phoenix, Sacramento, Baker.
New Orleans.
No. I never reported to New Orleans.
Okay.
So I don't count that.
But Jim Jackson joins us, and Jim, appreciate you taking some time with us this afternoon.
No problem.
So what do you think of this Final Four, the teams that are here? As somebody who was really one of the more memorable college basketball players, it's got to be fun for you to be here and to see this. But what do you think of these teams in particular?
It's different. It's weird. I mean, think about the dynamics. Oklahoma, Villanova played earlier in the year. Oklahoma smacked them earlier. Payback. Syracuse, North Carolina. Syracuse lost to them twice. You know, ACC. Payback. So you have some interesting dynamics with these teams in regards to the revenge factor, having something to prove, especially Syracuse, a team that, you know, quite honestly, a lot of people felt shouldn't be here. But they figured out a way to navigate through the tournament to get to a Final Four. A North Carolina team with high expectations at the beginning of the year, faltered a little bit but figured it out. Villanova, can they get through the first weekend of a tournament? Now they're in the Final Four. In Oklahoma, were they really deserving of a number one, you know, seed? Or were they number one in the country? Are they really a good team? You know, all these different questions, because you don't really have one team that just stands out and says, like Kansas, everybody thought was by and far the best team. But North Carolina, from that perspective, probably people are hedging towards.
You know, there was a lot of talk all season long that there's not the superstars.
Yeah.
and that interest seems to be down and that everybody's kind of equal. But the tournament kind of has its own way of creating these stars, and I think we're seeing that, especially with Oklahoma.
Well, Buddy Hield has been there all year, though. I mean, this young man is dynamic, especially where he came from his freshman year, not really playing. Even last year in the tournament, he wasn't as dynamic. I don't know if he had the confidence to really take over a game like you see him now. His maturity level, his demeanor on the court, is something special to watch. But we don't have great outstanding players. We have very good players, which make very good teams. So it's a different kind of dynamic than probably what we've seen, especially last year with that Kentucky team, that Wisconsin team that had people you could point to. This is a little bit different, but in its own way, it's exciting to watch.
With Buddy Hield, obviously the guy that's sort of been the man this whole tournament, how important is guard play, in especially come tournament time? Because it seems like more often than not, those are the teams that end up there in the end, and I know that was important for you when you were there. I mean, but how important do you think guard play is, and why is it more important to have in the tournament?
Well, it's more important. It's been important in the last 8 to 10 years. That if you had that dynamic point guard or backcourt, look at what Kemba Walker was able to do with Boatwright during that time, even Shabazz Napier. These teams weren't the best teams, but because their backcourts were dynamic, they were able to carry the load once you got into a one-game scenario where you had to win. And it's no different now if you look at what North Carolina can do with Marcus Paige as a senior. Okay, also Villanova, Ryan Arcidiacono, a senior that understands how to play. Cousins at Oklahoma. You have outstanding guard play with guys that are mature, that understands the ebb and flows of the games and know how to get your team back involved when things may go awry. That's the beauty of it. You can have the best post players you want, but if you don't have backcourt depth, the guys that can play, you're not going to win a championship. And all these teams, even Michael Benajay there at Syracuse, who's a senior in the backcourt, they got some wear and tear on their leg. They understand how to win and how to play. That's what makes it exciting.
You just mentioned, four or five of the biggest stars in this Final Four are seniors. That's something we have not had in some time. Do you think this is a sort of a break from the norm, or do you think that this is maybe going to start to be the new trend?
It depends, because the rookie class this year, the freshman class, wasn't as deep, wasn't as strong. You thought Ben Simmons would be able to carry the load and get LSU into the tournament. That Kentucky team, you thought maybe, with the maturity, that they would be able to get in. But they give credit to a lot of the third and fourth year players who've been around, who've been able to grow, that they're on the big stage right now, because this is something that we haven't seen in quite some time, where they've been highlighted like it was when I played. Now, will that trend stay around? We don't know. But there are some great opportunities for teams coming up that are now junior heavy that will be seniors next year, that I think we'll see, at least for another year, a lot of these teams that compete have a lot of upperclassmen.
What were your thoughts on the AP Player of the Year announcement? Buddy Hield, 3 votes short of Denzel Valentine, another senior, by the way. Then you see Buddy doing what he's done in this tournament, and you saw Denzel lose to Middle Tennessee State. I mean, are you surprised at the outcome of that vote?
I'm not surprised from this perspective, is that Buddy started out strong and then Denzel closed the gap. And a lot of times it's what we perceive in our mind later on. And a lot of times these votes are probably in the voters' mind, they've already kind of tabulated
who made their
decision. Now, keep in mind, Denzel Valentine, you can't take away. You think about what he's done on the court, the triple-doubles, the overall play, what he's brought to his team, not just the scoring, but playing the point guard position and scoring and playing defense.
And rebounding.
So I can see why they hedge towards giving that to Denzel. But I don't think it's a lose situation, because Buddy Hield has carved himself out to be the guy, that you'll remember this season by. Even if he falls short of winning a championship, He set himself up for a legacy that we'll all remember, kind of like a Glenn Rice scoring the basketball. Now, Glenn won it, but
right.
Buddy is on that same kind of trajectory in regards to what we'll remember about this season.
How much different is it? And I know it's a reality of selling more seats to play in these big stadiums, and there's been a lot of talk about how it affects shooting. How much different is it really?
It's different. It is. It really is. Now, a team like Syracuse is accustomed to playing in the dome, so it doesn't affect them. But you're basically up on a platform in the middle of a football field. The depth perception behind the rim is a lot different. So your lines of sight mentally are different. How you shoot the ball, how you pass the ball, things like that, they do affect you. I think you get accustomed to it and get used to it. But to say it doesn't affect you, I think would be telling a lie. But the good teams that have a good combination of good perimeter play and they can get easy basket with post play, they win championships. So a team like Villanova is not predicated on knocking down jump shots. A team like North Carolina is not predicated on knocking down jump shots. Oklahoma, from some perspective, they are, but they have a good combination of guys that can get to the basket and score. So these teams are, I think, can adjust to it a lot better because they have a diverse offensive schematic scheme that can help them win.
Got to ask you for a prediction because I know that's right. That's part of it. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's payback for Villanova. This is a different team than what we've seen earlier. That Buddy Hield factor is tough to overcome, but I just love the way they're playing defense right now. They can go seven deep. I picked Villanova to win it. I'm a little biased because I covered them during the course of the year a lot more. And I just something about this North Carolina team, I picked them to be in the finals early on. I didn't think it would be against Syracuse, a team that I think can beat them, especially if it comes close because all the pressure now becomes on that number one seed rather than or that higher seeded team rather than the lower seeded team. But you got North Carolina playing Villanova.
Man, I did my own little bracketology thing before the tournament started. I had Syracuse out of the tournament. Oh,
right.
I didn't think they should be there. Now they've won four games in a row. And, I mean, do you think that once a team does that, that they are sort of playing with house money and that's a very dangerous team?
I had them in the Chicago region, so against Gonzaga, and I had them against Virginia. And to watch how they were able to turn the tables on these two teams that were
– dog stomping them.
Well, yeah, but also, too, that they were – teams that don't turn the ball over,
right?
Teams that are mature, that know how to play, that this Syracuse team warmed down with the zone. That late in game situation, and I go back to the pressure part, the pressure now shifted to them when that lead got cut to 7-5. Now you saw them, Gonzaga and Virginia, tighten up. The shots that they normally would make, layups they miss. The passes they normally would make, they turned it over. While Syracuse clamped the pressure on, look, like you said, we're playing with house money. We're not supposed to be here. There's no pressure on us. So I seen it firsthand, and it's no different, I think, if they play North Carolina, a team that beat them twice. How hard is it to beat a team three times? I've been there. I lost to Michigan in Elite Eight in 92 when we beat them twice during the regular season. Okay? Michigan, when they won it in 89, lost to Illinois twice during the season. Villanova lost twice to Georgetown and beat them. It's so tough to beat a team that's within your conference, you know, three times in a row.
Tell us what you got going on with your legend campaign.
Well, it's with Harley Davidson. I'm a big motorcycle rider.
I am too.
My man.
Got a classic, a 2002 Softail.
Do you see? Yeah. I had a 2008 Road Glide. I got nice. Started in my neighborhood riding mopeds, MB5s, then on to motorcycles, Crotch Rockets when I was 15 years old. Then I got my big boy game up and jumped up to a Harley Davidson. But what they're doing is for men and women who have put off, you know, basically learning how to ride. Well, I got to get my kids through high school.
Yeah.
I got to do it. Don't put it off. They have a program now where their riding academy brings you in for the weekend, 2 days, gets you off the couch, out in front of the TV, and teaches you how to ride a bike. Before you know it, you're riding and you understand the dynamics and how great it is. But also better than that, they have a promotion going with our military and our first responders. People who we take so much for granted until we need them. Come on in. You got it for free.
Oh, I love
it. To learn how to ride and enjoy it. And the thing I love about the bike, and you can attest to this, once you get on that open road, you can solve all the world problems.
It's the best.
It is the best. So I encourage anybody that's thinking about it, not to say that you have to buy a bike right away, but just try it out.
Learn to ride. Go rent one for a weekend.
That's right. Let
me tell you, it'll change you.
But get your license and come. Go to h-d.com. Learn more about it. Sign up. Trust me. Once you do it, you get on that bike, you never want to get off.
My man.
You got me sold. I'm going to go do that right
now. Come on. Go do it. I'm telling you. Tell him. It's the best.
He can tell you I've been threatening to do this now for about a year.
But don't put it off. Like I said, nothing else. You go to the academy. You learn how to ride. You got it. And then you say, you know what? For a weekend, maybe I'll rent a bike.
And if you ever find yourself in need of a quick getaway and you've got to steal a bike, you'll know how to ride
it. That's right.
Because the worst is when you're like, I could steal this bike and get out of here, but I don't know how to ride.
That's right.
And then you're on foot and you get caught.
That's right.
Well, Jim, appreciate the time, man.
Anytime.
Thanks for
stopping
by. Enjoy
this weekend. You got it.
All right. Man. Jim Jackson. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I kept everything inside, and
even though I tried, it all hurt. ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz.
on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right. Our next guest here at Radio Row is the head basketball coach at Louisiana State University, Johnny Jones. And, Coach, you had quite the interesting season, I think. What was the whole Ben Simmons experiment? How did that, in retrospect, how did that play out in your mind?
Well, I tell you, it was exciting for us, and I thought Ben did a tremendous job of creating an environment and atmosphere really around our program since the days of when I was an assistant there and having Shaquille O'Neal and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf or Chris Jackson and Stanley Robinson, those guys with the hype that was around it. And so it was a build-up. And when you get into a situation like that with a young man that you've got so much, I guess, hype that's around, and he's a guy that come out and did a tremendous job of averaging 19, 12, and 5 for us this year, and he got 19 wins, took his team to 11-7 conference record. In the last regular season game of the year, we were playing at Kentucky in front of 20-something thousand people for the rights to win the conference championship outright. So at the end of the day, we lost some games. We had some guys hurt. Our key player, Keith Hornsby, was out for 14 games, eight in the beginning of the season because of surgery. The last six games he was out because of he'd re-aggravated the injury. So those things really played an important part. But at the end of the day, we averaged over 11,000 or so fans for our conference games. We had the largest crowd in the history of the buildings and since its configuration. So a lot of great things happened. Unfortunately, we had some setbacks, didn't get to the NCAA tournament, fell a little short. But we think Ben Simmons has done a remarkable job in putting himself in position himself maybe to be the number one player taken in the draft, and rightfully so, because anything that really happened at the end of the day forces a program on the positive side. I thought he played a major role in it. And some of the things that we didn't have any control over, unfortunately, some of the setbacks that we had, at least he was one of those guys that were prepared and got himself ready for the next game.
What was the decision, or what was behind the decision not to accept the bid to the NIT? Why did you guys decide to stay home instead of that?
Well, last six game of the season, we were playing without Keith Hornsby, a guy who was our leading returning scorer from the year before. He was a fifth-year senior. He was the heart and soul, really, of our team leader. We had to get into the SEC tournament. We had to double bye. We played on Friday night. Our kid who's leading us in scoring at the time over the last eight or nine games, Antonio Blakeney, another freshman, wind up being ill prior to the game. Had an outstanding game, but again, you have to turn around and play the next day at noon. He wasn't able to get over his virus, and at the end of the day, he felt that he could play. He got out there, and I think he wound up playing himself to exhaustion. We get back on home on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, we're meeting, and it's a possibility we're about to he's about to be hospitalized. So taking our team and putting them in a position like that without two key guys that you're playing without, and possibly we knew we were going to have to go possibly maybe play on the road somewhere. I thought our team was a little bit depleted, wasn't sure at the level that we would be able to compete in a game if we had to go out and play on a Tuesday in the NIT, and I just didn't think it was in the best interest of our team players program to be able to put those guys in that type of position.
But had you been in the situation where you got a bid to the NCAA tournament and had to play in Dayton on Tuesday, I assume that the decision would have been different and you guys would have found a way, right?
We'd certainly probably took the hospital bed with us. I think they pay a little bit more in the NCAA tournament. But we'd certainly probably tried to find a way to put ourselves in that position. But we had to make a decision early on to not put the NIT in a certain position had they chose to add us as a team. But if it was going to be, and then those things that you don't know if you're going to play a Friday, Thursday or Friday game in the NCAA tournament, that you would go ahead and possibly take your chances and hopeful that you're not in the play-in game. But if we're certainly to answer your question, certainly would have had to go play somewhere on a Tuesday.
Did the news that came down about Ben, about his grades and things like that, would that have been a distraction for you guys playing any kind of postseason stuff?
Oh, absolutely not. Ben's grades were fine. He had no problem with his grades or anything. One of the problems you have, especially with first-year guys, is that they have to pass X amount of hours to remain eligible, and what they have to do at the end of that semester to put themselves in position to be eligible for the next year is when guys generally, especially first-year guys, a lot of times fall into that place. Not everybody's up for distinguished awards like that, so everybody don't get exposed, unfortunately, you know, what had transpired. But with him, he's done a tremendous job in school. He's obviously taken care of his business. And had he been coming back to school next year, he would have did the things that was necessary to position himself to be eligible and to have the required GPA and all those other things that were come along with it.
When you guys signed him, did he make it known that this was a 1 year commitment? And did you guys kind of understand that going into the deal as well, that Ben Simmons was not long for LSU?
Well, he committed 2 years prior to
right,
and a lot of light was shined on his commitment with us as well. When he committed, I knew after watching him then in I think the 10th or going to 11th grade that he was only going to be with us for a year unless they changed those rules, because he was that type of player. And I thought he was one of those guys that had a few people been able to do that. The LeBron James, the Kobe Bryants, and those kind of, he fit that mode of kind of guy that could have gone because of his size. You know, Ben came in at about 6'10", 225, 230 pounds, and he could take the physicality of the game at that time. And we're fortunate that we had him on campus with us for a year, but we knew he wasn't going to be long been on campus because of the abilities that he has.
So has that helped you with recruiting, having a guy like that big of a star? Now when you go into some of these recruits' living rooms, is that helping?
Well, I can tell you it's been phenomenal, because the number of kids that came on campus to watch us, and where they would come from to watch us play live, to have an opportunity to be at one of our practices, to be at our game, to have an opportunity to come by the locker rooms or whatever after the game, to spend that kind of time. And so the experience has really been good. And, again, the type of exposure that we were able to garnish from Ben on campus was huge for us. And it's been such a great big deal that it certainly have spurned and really helped us in terms of our recruiting.
What do you think of this Final Four, these teams that are here?
I tell you, it's great, and again, you look out there, and the number of teams that didn't make it, unfortunately, some of the number one seeds are not here, but it talks about the parity in college basketball. When you look over the mass of the teams that are out there, most teams, even in the top five conferences, they were either had five, six losses in conference play, so there have been some great battles out there, and some other teams have really stepped up, so I think the tournament has been outstanding, and I think the Final Four teams, I think we're going to be in for two great days of basketball on Saturday and especially Monday evening.
Talk about the challenges a little bit. At coaching at LSU, it's always going to be football first there. But you guys, I mean, as you did this year, and you get a lot of attention when you're winning. But what's it like coaching at a football school and at a place where – you know, you could be successful, but it's not going to be Kentucky, where that's all I care about is basketball.
Well, you might be asking the wrong guy, because I'm the biggest football fan that you're going to find. You know, I had an opportunity to play at LSU, and so as a student, I was able to go to the games and sit there in the end zone, student section, and still get caught up now. So as big a football fan as I am, I'm excited about it. I love the impact that it makes, because you can bring those recruits in, and I can tell you, prior to basketball season starting and we kids signing in November, you can get a lot of kids when the crowd is like they are there in Tiger Stadium. It's unbelievable. So we certainly ride the wave that the football team have an opportunity to bring in the national scrutiny, obviously, that those guys get and have won national championships and the impact that they make in the game. It's great for us. So as a basketball coach, and understanding that Dale Brown was able to take a team to the Final Four a couple of times while he was there, 81 and then in 86 as well, and then they went back in 2006, you know both can certainly survive on campus. And a lot of other sports we have on campus have won national championships as well. So we're excited about that, and think that it's tremendous to be on a campus where sports is certainly one of those things that's embraced by our fan base.
Now, speaking of that fan base, have you ever been any place like that, as far as not just football, but the baseball, the way they turn out for the baseball games, your games? Have you been at a school like that before with that kind of support?
Well, I have to admit, and I worked at University of Alabama for a year.
There you go.
With Mark Godfrey, and because of that, and you still see those things because of how basketball is treated, obviously what the football team has been able to do and their baseball team as well. But, you know, again, our track team, and you can go down the line from our softball. You can go down the line of how they're supported, and our golf team won a national championship just last year. So so many great things are going on, but I can tell you the fans are very supportive of it, and they live and breathe that LSU and that purple and gold, and that's special, and that's why you want to be a part of that, and you want those, I guess, expectations that come along. You'd much rather that way than not, because you want people to expect or think that you're going to have an opportunity to be good, because that's the only reason they're going to come in and watch you play.
Coach, you here pitching anything?
Excuse me?
Are you here pitching anything, or are you just hanging out with us?
Oh, no. I'm just hanging out with you guys.
That's even better.
Yeah. So I know a lot of questions have been asked about Ben Simmons and just the opportunity to have him play, and would you do it again? And I tell people all the time, I probably, if I had an opportunity to do it all over again, I'd like to have two of those guys like that, so we could have a double hit.
You know, when a university comes out, and you've been here before, when a university comes out at the end of the season, especially a season that ended a little bit in disappointing fashion like you guys did, and they say, we're bringing Coach Jones back for another year, I mean, does that kind of, in your mind, put a lot of pressure on you going into next year? Like, if they had to make an announcement at the end of this year, that means we got to do something next year to really show that I'm the right guy for this job.
Well, I don't think an announcement was made. I think a question was posed to our athletic director in a setting by someone, and the only thing he could do is answer him, and it was almost like he was shocked to get the question because he's never had to come out and make a statement to our local media, anyone else, because no one had ever posed that question to him. But after he answered, and it came out, and I think on Twitter, it was something that I guess was put in a local paper. But I can tell you this. I took a job at University of North Texas several years back, and they had only won 20 games in a combined 4 years, and I put pressure on myself that first year to have a winning season and to try and change that program around there. So when I got back to LSU, and after signing a 5 or 6 year contract, whatever it was at the time, my biggest deal was to put pressure on myself because I want what's best for our fans and what's best for our players. So we're always got our shoulder to the grind and trying to do the best that we can do. And that's the best that you can do. Control the controllables. Work as hard as you possibly can, and then things will turn out like they turn out. And so that's what we're going to do. Maximize everything that we possibly can. And whatever happens at the end of the day, it's going to happen. And we're hopeful that that's a good thing.
If a team drafts Ben with the number one pick, what are they going to get?
Are they going to get an outstanding player? They're going to get a guy that's unbelievably marketable. He's off the chain in terms of his ability to articulate things in the way that his presence, he presents himself. And I can tell you he's going to be outstanding. He's going to certainly make an impact on that team. And when he's got an opportunity to get some healthy guys and some other people around him, some great things are in store for this young man. And I can tell you, you talk about guys that are marketable, be it LeBron or the Kobe's and all those guys. This young man will fall in that line because he's walked a step. He's very conscious. His mom and dad have done a tremendous job with him, along with his siblings, in terms of guiding him and keeping him grounded. Because I don't think he realizes how good he is because they tell him how bad he is, you know, quite often, and which is a good thing. But he stays focused and he remains that way. Some great things in store for him. And as a coach and had an opportunity to be with him for the last year, I can't wait to watch his progress and how things unfold for him in his career.
You know, you mentioned you being an assistant at LSU when Shaquille O'Neal was there, and he's a guy who went number one overall, and everyone pretty much knew he was going to go number one overall. Yeah. Can you draw any comparisons between the two as far as their readiness to go to the next level and be productive early on?
Well, Shaquille went after his junior year,
right,
which was a big thing, and he had to do it all over again. But because of the impact that he made, he would go after his first year. Because of the amount of money out there and how things are structured. And Shaquille actually enjoyed college, and it was a decision that he had to make at the end. But Ben knew coming in where he was going to be. But the only comparison I think that you can make is the way that he's been guided, how disciplined he has been and shown because of his family and his upbringing, and having that type of stability. And I think that's what the longevity for Shaquille was, and I think that's what will happen with Ben.
Coach Jones, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your stay here in Houston, and hope to have some hope to see you in this tournament next year.
Thanks, guys, for having me on, and certainly hope that I'm not visiting with you because I am in the tournament next year. Thanks so much.
All right, that's Coach Johnny Jones, LSU. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Got to tell you about my friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. It was exactly 2 years ago that I went in and started my weight loss journey, managed to get 50 pounds off, learned how to keep it off, and I've been doing great ever since. And it's all thanks to Quick Weight Loss. And they help me. They can help you. They've been helping people for 28 years. You can lose more weight faster, easier, up to 100 pounds or more. No exercise required. No prepackaged meals. And right now, they've got a great deal for you. Get 6 weeks for $66, all weight loss services included. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, drop by one of their 15 Houston-area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com, or if you're outside of the Houston area, they've got a home program, too. Give them a call, 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Radio Row in the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We're having a finals party at the House of Blues on Monday, April 4th. We're broadcasting live all day long. Mike and Mike will kick the day off at 5 a.m., followed by Reality Check, John and Raheel, Unfiltered, Houston Game Day, and The Blitz. There will be a special breakfast buffet, happy hour specials, and we'll have special guests stopping by all day. And did we mention it's opening day in baseball, too? We'll have the game on to watch your hometown heroes take on the Yankees at noon. Don't miss a second of the action at House of Blues, Monday, April 4th, brought to you in part by Papa John's. So a very, going to be a busy few days here. We're wrapping it up out here at Radio Row, but Sunday we'll be out at Fogo de Chão from 12
yes.
to 2.
Fogo de Chão.
Chão, okay.
Come on, don't you speak any Portuguese?
No, I don't. I'm American, dude. It's going to be Fogo de Chão. Well,
do you not get beat up by Brazilians regularly?
No, I do not.
Oh. Guess that's just me.
Yeah, it is just you.
It is just me.
But we'll be out there, and then we'll be at House of Blues on Monday, and I'll probably drop by for a couple of the earlier shows, too, since it's right around the corner. Also, just want to remind you once again to tune in April 4th through the 10th for Westwood One's coverage of the Masters live from Augusta National, or visit Masters.com for live action all week long. Masters.com, your online source for the 2016 Masters. All right, final predictions. You don't have to predict Monday yet because we'll have two shows before then. But final predictions for you on tomorrow night's games.
I guess it's not going to take a genius to figure out that I like North Carolina more than I like Syracuse. I've made it pretty clear that I don't think Syracuse belongs here. Kudos to them for getting here. I'd be surprised if they beat North Carolina. I'd be shocked if they beat North Carolina. I was shocked when they beat Virginia, though. So
you heard Jim Jackson say it's crazier things have happened.
Hard
to beat a team three times.
Yeah, but I'll stick with North Carolina there. I like Villanova. As much as I love Buddy Hield and I love what he's done, this Villanova team is to me, is just so well coached, and they're so senior laden. I think Archie Dinacchio is going to have a big game. I think that Jay Wright is going to have this team ready, and this team that's had so many early disappointments in the tournament is going to make the most of this run that they're having. I think we'll have North Carolina Villanova in the final. What about you?
I'm with you on North Carolina. I just don't have a good feel for that other game. I'll say this: I think Syracuse could cover. I think that's a big number.
That's a different story. As far as just who's going to win,
I'll go North Carolina and Oklahoma. I think that game is very close, and I don't have a real strong opinion.
How dare
on it,
you so. Go against me? Just
to be different, because
okay,
it'd fair. Be really. So I agree with you, AJ. That'd be boring.
You're right.
One more time, also want to remind you, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by State Farm, ensuring you through slam dunks, 3-point buzzer beaters, and, of course, assists. State Farm exists to assist. That's a lot of these things, man.
Yeah, you've been busy today. I'm so glad that I don't have to deal with that nonsense.
Well, I remember the last time we did this, you actually did all those.
Did I really?
Yeah. You finally just said, you know what? It's only fair that I have to do something like this. Because
what was I thinking when I
said
that?
I don't know. I was stunned.
I will never do that again.
Yeah, they didn't even ask you. They just brought it over to me and said, here.
Thank goodness.
But it's been kind of fun. We got a chance to talk to some really cool people, and looking forward to the game. I'm excited about just the way walking around downtown, seeing all these people here. And you know, I as a Houston guy, I'm always pretty proud of this city, and I just love it when stuff like this is here. I mean, it's kind of more work for us, but that's okay. It's also great business for all my friends who own bars and restaurants and stuff. And it's neat, especially living downtown, seeing people come down here and that haven't been here in a few years and realize, hey man, this downtown's pretty cool now. It's totally changed. So that's fun, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm gonna enjoy all 3 days of it. So, and I'm going to be busy too.
Yeah, we are going to be busy. I'm looking forward to it, though. It's a fun time to have this event in our city. I'm with you. I like to show it off when we get the chance to. So Cool thing for us, cool thing for everybody who's here. Hopefully everybody enjoys the city while they're down here.
Yeah, and if you are from out of town and just picking up the show, you can always catch us on Podcast Arena. It's a terrific show. You'll like it. I promise you. Unless you don't.
Yeah, promises. You know, let's not do that.
No, it's a guarantee. I guarantee you will love the show unless you don't.
Okay.
And that's all there is to it. All right. Well, we'll do stupid stuff in just a second here to wrap things up, but I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and I hope you all enjoy the weekend. Get out and do some of the fun stuff that's going on here, whether it's Fan Fest or, you know, at least get out somewhere and watch the games if you're not going, and try to enjoy this, because this is one of those cool things to have in your city, and to be right in the middle of it's just an absolute blast. All right. Let us do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Although, yeah. I don't know. The last time you and I were on the same basketball court, your Achilles exploded. So I don't know.
But I was blowing by somebody at the time, though, right?
I don't really remember. We actually weren't playing you guys at the time. You were on a different court. Somebody just walked over and said your buddy Jerome just blew up his Achilles.
It's much worse than most injuries, for sure.
Well, make sure that you use that as an excuse for why you hurt yourself gardening.
Well, it's all connected, you know.
The George Clooney Batman or something like that.
What the hell is going on out there?
Hey, John, yeah, go tell these chicks to shut their heads. I'm trying to do a professional broadcast.
Yeah, we can hear them through the headphones, and they're like two rooms away.
Good Lord.
What the heck are they doing out there? If you liked what you heard yesterday from the HD show, filling in for us, you can listen to them in just a few minutes, actually.
What my dad did say is, I just got my entire shoulder taken out. I bet I could hit more than one shot in a three-point
Absolutely.
Contest.
Absolutely. With a bum shoulder.
I trash-talked Mike Pearson. I trash-talked. Mike was wearing some Under Armour Steph Curry's.
Oh.
And I told him, I said, if you don't make more than one, you have to take those shoes back.
Oh, well, God. That's so perfect.
Did you see the whole thing where the UConn coach got into it with a columnist because you got that?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this. This is more fun than the actual game.
Give me a second.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, crickets. Guess who's back in the news? Your good buddy, Michael Sam. People have told me I'm not gay enough. People have told me I'm not black enough. So he's not gay enough or black enough, apparently.
Okay. Well, he's gay enough and black enough for me.
Goal for the U.S., by the way.
Goal! No, 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 no!
Okay, I literally had to take my headphones off while you did that.
That was actually the ESPN call, right?
No.
Did you see Bonnie Bernstein is bitching about our city here already? After just 5 hours in Houston, already certain this will go as the least logistically organized Final Four I've experienced in 18 years. Hashtag NRG fail.
I'm not a fan of hers.
Because of that?
No, I've never been a fan of hers.
I don't care if Bonnie Bernstein likes our city. Bonnie Bernstein can suck it. She's probably in this room, so I'll say it louder. Bonnie Bernstein can suck it. If she is here.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for another Friday. I want to thank John Lee for doing a great job. As always, back in studio, Michael Pearson for taking care of everything out here at Radio Row. AJ Hoffman for doing a fantastic job, as always. And myself, D-plus today. We will be out and about at Fogo on Sunday, noon to 2. Come out and join us.
On Westheimer.
On Westheimer for a special live broadcast of the Blitz. Talk a little college basketball. Until then, stay sporty, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.